It's time again for the one show that takes a look at business from a different perspective, the coaching perspective, with Master Certified Business Coach, Doug Gefeller. Hey, Doug.
Hey, Paul. Glad to be with you in studio here today. Well, welcome to today's episode of The Coaching Perspective. I'm your host, Doug Gefeller. I've been a Master Certified Coach by the International Coach Federation since 1999, and I've been coaching business owners, senior executives, and their teams for 20 years here in Southern California, all under the banner of The Coaching Perspective. If you'd like to know more about my coaching services, just go to the website, thecoachingperspective.com, or you can reach me the old-fashioned way, 714-726-8354. Before we get started with our guest, we're doing a first here today, Paul.
We are. We're experimenting. This is our beta test, and you're the tester here. You're the hamsters that we're experimenting with. We are streaming live. For those listening live, you can actually see what's happening in the studio. You can see Doug Gefeller and his guest on our OC Talk Radio Facebook fan page. Go to Facebook, type in OC Talk Radio, and our page will come up. And if you click on the icon there, you'll see the studio, live streaming video from the studio.
Okay, and if they're listening to the podcast, where do they find it?
We're going to have it's also being recorded on YouTube, and it'll be on our YouTube channel, and hopefully as well as yours.
When he says ours, he means the OC Talk Radio.
Yep, OC Talk Radio has a YouTube channel. We're going to start streaming these live and then collecting them there so you can watch as well as listen.
Great. Okay, well, our guest for today is Laura Alo, the owner of Ultimate Upcycle, and she's going to be talking about the power of choice. Laura has over 20 years' experience in the health, wellness, and fitness industry, in companies encompassing both field and corporate roles. She's developed proven methods for optimizing learning and development, processes, budget, and manpower. And her background includes the end-to-end strategic development, training, implementation, and execution of diverse projects and initiatives across 400-plus locations. Wow. She has a proven record of professional excellence and integrity combined with outstanding written and verbal skills, organizational and analytical skills, and she is a team leader as well as a team player, creating a fun and empowering work environment for those she works with.
And can I add one other thing? She's the only guest that actually took the time to go online, Google our studio, see what color our walls were, and to wear something complimentary and yet contrasting. So it's perfect for our first video feed here.
Yeah, and there she didn't even know it was going to be video. And you're here. I won't tell you that while we were waiting, she said, you know, I think I'm having a bad hair day. I'm glad we're not going to see anybody's going to see this. But it doesn't look like you're having a bad hair day. Welcome, Laura.
You know, thank you. Thank you. I'm so honored to be here, Doug. Thank you.
Oh, it's our privilege to have you here. Well, look, let's just jump right in. Tell us what you did before your current career. Give us some background.
Sure. Well, you know, like a lot of people, I've had sort of a varied background and actually started my professional life as a hairdresser. That's why all the concern about the hair. And found very quickly that that was sort of not my real calling. I became a hairdresser because I like to help people feel good about themselves, but I didn't necessarily enjoy standing on my feet all day. And of course, people's hair grows in 6 weeks, and everything I did has gone to pot at that point. Right. So, after some time and thought and reflection, I started working as a fitness instructor, getting involved in the fitness industry. I had two very young children, and it was a perfect sort of part-time job, and you get paid to work out, and I just really loved it, and it helped me build on that passion to really help people be the best version of themselves, and I love all of the inner strength as well as outer strength that you can really gain from being fit and healthy. And as time progressed and I went back to work full-time, I became involved in one of the largest gym chains in the country and was working for them at a corporate level. And that's where all of that fun experience you were talking about came into play.
And teams.
Leading teams. And I really loved that, actually, being in that corporate life was something that I didn't really think was possible for me, honestly. I didn't go to college like all of my friends had gone to. We'll talk a little bit more about that later. But I really kind of came in through the back door and worked my way up, and I was very proud of that. But as we all know, not everything lasts. And as my company was sold and reorganizations happen, I found myself sort of looking for the next phase in my life. And that's where I ended up in the coaching world.
Okay, wonderful. Well, you know, nobody starts out. I have not yet met anybody that started out in coaching. I mean, I'm sure somebody out there did. If you're listening, call me. We'll interview you. You'll be the first.
We want to know.
The rest of us have all come to coaching by some circuitous path one way or another.
Yeah.
So tell us about your coaching. What attracted you to coaching?
Well, you know, in my life in the fitness world, which I'm still involved in, still teach group fitness classes every day, I found that there were a lot of people that had underlying issues beyond just, you know, I want to be fit, and particularly people that maybe had health or weight issues that they couldn't seem to get on top of. And I really wanted to have an avenue that I could work more deeply with those people to really uncover what those blocks were so that they could attain the sort of vitality that they were looking for in their lives.
Okay. And your coaching training, where did you get that?
So initially I went through Well Coaches, which is a fantastic coaching training program. And they require that anybody that's going through this training must be already have a health or fitness background, because their training platform isn't about teaching you how to work with people on health-related issues. Their expectation is that you already have that understanding and background. And so they really are coming at it from the general coaching platform, which is, let's question, let's dig, let's find out what the things are underneath the issues, and then we can start to direct towards, you know, solutions and help them, help people uncover what it is that they are really sort of sitting underneath that's keeping them from where they want to be.
Okay. Out of curiosity, is Well Coaching a local California, Southern California organization, national? What?
It's national. National. It's actually international. In fact, one of my colleagues that was in my study group was from Portugal. So you can imagine arranging those conference calls was interesting. But yes, they're the only American College of Sports Medicine endorsed program. So that's sort of the gold standard in the fitness and health industry.
Okay.
And they definitely provide continuing education for ICF and other international coaching accredited courses. So they really do have a very high standard for what they're looking for in their coaches and in their training programs.
Okay, wonderful. All right, so that kind of brings us up to date, I think. So tell us about your practice today. What is your business, or multiple businesses, as so many people have today?
You know, it's even within the coaching path that I've taken, it's had a few twists and turns. I did originally really want to focus on that health aspect. But as I got into it more and working with clients, I always found that their health issues had other deeper personal issues. And so I started really moving more towards that personal growth coaching and trying to sort of uncover other things that were really holding them back that may not, that their health and wellness is really a symptom of. And of course, that path seemed to lead me to attracting a lot of people that are in, are going through divorce, largely because of my own experiences with that. And so I seem to be moving more down that path and working closely with people that are trying to either make that decision or are trying to work through that decision and how it plays out in their life. So continuing to evolve with my clients is sort of my focus. And then, of course, with that hand in hand for me is speaking. I love speaking to groups and writing. And hopefully in the future, I'd like to combine all of that into some wellness retreats so that we're really hitting your health, your wellness, and your future personal growth in, you know, some maybe 4 or 5 day intensives. That's kind of my 2017 docket.
Okay. And like any good coach would do, I've made a note of it that it's on your list that you're going to do it by 2017. So I'll be following up with you.
Oh, no. Accountability.
Accountability. You won't get away from it.
I know. You just can't. It's not a bad word. It's not a bad word. It's a good word.
Would you say that working with people involved in divorce, thinking about it, going through it, is a niche for your coaching, or it just happens to be part of your clientele?
I think that it's becoming more of a niche. It just seems to be evolving that way because I have such a, you know, crazy sort of background of my own. It really helps people to feel like I understand what they're going through. And, you know, with any coach, I think that personal connection is really important. And when they know that you can empathize and understand with where their head's at and what's going on, it really seems to, you know, open up some pathways for them to feel comfortable digging a little deeper for themselves.
Okay. You know, I think it's almost more important for clients than it is for coaches to have some experience or some credential in the area that the client's problem is in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know people come to me for business coaching and they look at my business background, which doesn't tell them anything about how good a coach I am, but they think it's important.
Yeah.
And I would assume the same thing is sort of true with what you're talking about.
Yeah, I think so.
How do you find your clients? That's always a question I like to ask coaches.
You know, we were talking earlier a little bit about social media, and I, you know, of course I have a website and a blog, and promote my blog on social media, and that's one way that people find me, you know, and they really do relate to the, I'm sort of a storyteller, so I like to tell a lot of stories in my blog. It's a little less of a to-do list and more of a, this is what I have experienced kind of blog. And so that's one place. The speaking that I do definitely puts me in front of people that either need help themselves or know somebody that could use some help figuring out what are my choices, where am I going, what am I doing, and especially in that arena of divorce, because that's sort of my main speaking topic.
Okay. And I'll ask you again at the end of the show, but in case somebody gets interrupted, how do people get a hold of you? You talked about your blog. Where do I find your blog?
Yeah. So that's at www.ultimateupcycle.com.
Okay. And is that the best place to get more information about your business?
Yeah, that's a great place there. Or finding me on Facebook under Ultimate Upcycle, Twitter, Ultimate Upcycle 1. I like to keep that brand strong through everywhere so that it's very consistent. So those are sort of the best places, you know, or even just the good old-fashioned way, like you said, phone call. My number is 949-229-0813.
Okay. And I can't wait any longer. You got to tell the story. Ultimate Upcycle. I was curious, where did upcycle, which is sort of a strange word, where did that come from as a name for your business?
Yeah, it's, you know, it's kind of one of those trendy words, I guess, but I love the idea of it because the true meaning is really taking something that's already good and making it great. And my philosophy really is that you don't need to be a new you. You don't need to be something different than what you are. Everything that's gone on in your life has made you who you are. So pull those lessons out and just elevate yourself to that next level. And so it's still you, just even better.
I love it. I love it that as you sort of recreate yourself, you're not throwing out everything old.
Right.
You're just fine-tuning, you know, adding the seasoning to the secret sauce to the hamburger.
Exactly. Exactly.
Let's see. That sort of discusses your business.
Yeah.
You know, we've asked every guest we've had on the show this question. Never had a duplicate yet. What is your guiding principle? What is it that you hold on to that keeps you solid no matter what's going on in your life?
It's definitely that no one ever has to walk in your shoes except you.
Okay, you want to explain that?
Yeah, I do, because I feel that it's so important to listen to your gut, trust your gut. And so many times in your life, when things are going on, good and bad, people will try to tell you, you should do this, you should do that. But the truth is that they will never have to live with the consequences of whatever choices you make in the way that you will. And so if you ignore your gut reaction and your instincts and try to, you know, comply with what other people think you should do, you're going to end up walking someone else's journey. And it's so important to really think about what kind of consequences are you going to have to deal with for the choices that you make.
Any example in your life where this is you've really applied this that you want to share
with us? I've got a million, Doug.
Well, let me check the time there. A little less than a million will
Maybe less than a million. Yeah, yeah. So, you know, one of the things that I talk about, you know, when I'm out speaking to groups and things is, you know, my background. I grew up in a very religious family, and which I think is great. You know, I have wonderful values and principles behind that. But there were some things that I sort of questioned or maybe didn't understand, but I sort of ignored those things, and that put me on a path of, you know, not going to college, even though I wanted to, because that was sort of a discouraged thing. You're supposed to really devote yourself religiously. Marrying somebody that really was not the right person for me, staying in a marriage with that person because, you know, I felt like I had to. And all along the way, I felt like I didn't have a choice in these things, and I ignored my own gut instinct, and yet it had these really incredible good and bad downstream effects for not paying attention to what was important to me, not paying attention to what was really should be my journey. And so I just feel very passionate about making sure that people understand no matter how much you think you don't have a choice, you do. And when you make those choices, that's what's going to affect your journey. And that's what's going to affect how you live your life and what your life looks like in the end. And, you know, it's never too late to course correct, but wouldn't it be so much nicer if we didn't have to do quite as much course correction along the way or quite as drastic course correction sometimes?
Okay, interesting. Well, again, not a guiding principle we've heard before. So you've kept our record intact. Thank
All
you,
right.
Laura. Well, look, I see the producer kind of waving at me. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and then we'll be right back. And given that we're streaming live, we can wave at everybody, too, you know. Hi, Mom.
Do you have a desire to be a part of a conscious community? I mean a community of people who get together with the purpose of strengthening their awareness muscles, deepening their relationships, and striving for the extraordinary? Check out how to get started at productivelearning.com. We are a unique self-development company, and we believe that we all have the innate ability to create and live the lives we truly want. But we also know that ability needs to be nurtured and developed. That's why we offer over 40 different workshops to our conscious community. Workshops that intentionally stretch you beyond your comfort zone towards what you truly want. Our workshops are not ordinary. We take journeys across the world from exotic scuba diving trips to rich cultural getaways. And we offer amazing workshops right here in South Orange County. Join us and find out just how extraordinary life can be. Go to productivelearning.com today or call Lisa Reed at 949-234-0628. To see how you can be a part of our conscious community, that's productivelearning.com or 949-234-0628.
All right, let's pick it back up with Doug and his guest.
Okay, and we're back with Laura Alo of Ultimate Upcycle, and we're ready to get into the topic today. The topic is the power of choice. Why did you pick that? What are you talking about there, Laura?
Well, you know, like I touched on earlier, you know, I grew up in with such a narrow point of view, such a narrow framework through which I looked at the world. And, you know, I really allowed myself to buy into that framework. And as a result of that, I made some rather disastrous decisions. in my life. And so it's really important to me to help people understand that, you know, all you have to do is open that framework up just a little bit, and perhaps you will see some choices that you didn't realize were there. We make millions of choices every day, and sometimes we don't even realize it. You know, you think, did you brush your teeth this morning? I hope you don't have to answer that. But most of us probably did. And you think to yourself, well, that's not really a choice. I have to do that. But you don't. You really don't. Now, of course, the consequences of that are that your teeth may fall out, right? But everything that you do, you really do have a choice in the matter. So, you know, understanding that there are always choices, weighing out the pros and cons of those choices, you know, just because you choose something, even if it's the right choice, doesn't mean that there may not be some negative consequences that you're going to have to work through. But I really, really want people to take a closer look. And that's what I am super passionate about working with a lot of my clients about. They feel sometimes like they're backed in a corner and they just have to do X, Y, Z. And I want to help them step back and examine what their choices really may be so that they can make more informed decisions and decisions that are going to be more impactful in a positive way down the line for their lives.
Do you have a set procedure that you go through to help them realize that there's more choices than maybe they thought at first? Or,
you know, one of my favorite things is I call it why to the fifth.
Why to the fifth?
Why
okay.
to the fifth? Because when, you know, we get to a place where someone says, well, you know, I must do X. Why? And usually it's a practical answer. Why? I feel like a two-year-old sometimes. Why? But I keep asking them why until we can sort of move through that practical answer and down into some of the emotions that are coming up that are supporting that practical answer. So if it's, why are you staying in a marriage? You know, I have to stay in this marriage. Why are you staying in a marriage that you aren't happy in? Well, because, you know, I can't afford to leave it. Well, why do you feel like you can't afford to leave it? Well, I don't have a job. Well, you know, what would it take for you to have a job? Or why is that a challenge for you? Well, I didn't go to college. You see how it's all of these reasons, and they're legitimate. They're true things, true stories that are going on in someone's life. But as soon as we start getting to, well, I don't feel like I could compete. Now we're starting to get into the fear factor. I'm concerned I wouldn't be able to measure up. You know, I haven't kept up with, you know, my colleagues or my peers, you know, in a career way or something. And we start to get down to, okay, now we understand this is really about fear. And now we can start to rebuild what choices might be available. Could you do online schooling? Could you take a job that will pay the bills for the time being? Could you, you know, look to some friends for some training or mentoring? There are always options. But when you just start at, well, I just can't do it, and you shut down that whole realm of possibility, you have to really start digging with your whys.
Do you think that it's... would it be a progression of sort of moving from the intellectual answer, the factual, to get to the more emotional reasons? Is that the depth that you're really going to?
That's really what I want to look at, because I think that as soon as you can identify what those emotions are that are really supporting your quote-unquote practical or intellectual reasons, then you can start to deal with those in a real way. And mm-hmm. and I'm all about practicality. I'm a realist. You know, I wish I was an optimist sometimes, but I'm definitely a realist. I've always got one foot on the ground. So I think that it's so important to understand what those emotions are so you can build a practical strategy for walking your way out of that hole.
Well, you know, and there's a lot of scientific support for that. I mean, some of the studies in neuroscience are showing that while we give factual reasons for doing something, mm-hmm. that the first decision is made at the emotional level, mm-hmm. and then we collect the facts to support the emotional decision that's already been made.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I kind of hear you saying.
Definitely.
Here.
And we don't know it. That's the thing.
It's
we're so
like
masterful it happens just like that. And we're really masterful at covering up and sort of protecting those emotions. And before you know it, you're completely out of touch with that.
What do you think is the more difficult area to work in with your clients? Is it identifying what choice to make, or is it identifying that they have choices?
Wow, what a great question. You know, I think it really is identifying that they have choices a lot of times, because once they start to open up to the idea, the possibility that they have a choice in something, they can start to pull some practical choices out and start building those steps up themselves a lot of times. But they've got to get to a place where they realize that they can do something about it.
Yeah.
before they can, you know, really figure out what those choices are. After that, it can really just be a pro and con list. You know, this choice has this positive and this negative, and start to weigh those out.
That gets to be pretty easy. You know, it sort of reminds me of the old when you used to listen to records and the needle would get stuck in a groove,
and
all you heard was that same part of the song over and over. And that's sort of where we are. We don't realize that we're replaying the same track over and over, mm-hmm. and that there's other stories to listen to.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's a great analogy.
So the issue is making the choice, broadening your scope to look at different choices. So tell us a little bit about how this impacted for you personally.
Well, you know, I think that initially I really sort of let myself play that victim role. I hate to say that, but, you know, and that's what kept me in that place of feeling like I didn't have any choices. And I had to really come to an understanding about what was my responsibility in all of this, and take the word blame and fault out of the picture, and just understand I made some of these decisions that put me in line for some of the things that happened to me. So it wasn't really, you know, writing off someone else's, you know, part to play in it.
Right.
But it was really taking responsibility for the fact that I did make these decisions. I made these decisions even though I could have made a different decision. And that's when it started dawning on me that I had some choices. I just didn't want to look at the choices. Sometimes that's, I think, when people go around asking everyone, what should I do? What should I do? They know what to do. They just don't like the answer. And that's, I think, for myself, I knew that I could make another decision, but I didn't like what the potential consequences were. So I pretended to myself that I didn't have a choice in the matter, and I just had to proceed down this road, like it or not. And you know, come all these decisions later, when I start realizing I had a choice, now it's a lot more challenging. There are a lot more strings attached to the decisions that I have to make to sort of course correct. But that was really, I think, for me, was understanding the role that I played in it, mm-hmm. and then figuring out that meant I did have choices in the matter.
Well, and you know, I like the fact that you said you need to stop blaming yourself for the choices you've made, because so many times we make choices that when we look back on them, we can say that was the wrong choice.
Mm-hmm.
But at the time, given the information we had, given the ability we had to look at things, it may have been the right choice or the best choice given the circumstances.
Right, or the information you had at the time.
Or the information we had at the time. So
So
rather than blaming ourselves about it, it's a matter of looking at it and going, well, now I'm more educated. Now I have more data. Now I have more information.
Yeah.
That's what I hear you saying. Is that?
Definitely. I think one of the biggest bridges, or gaps rather, that need to be bridged between where you are and where you want to be is allowing yourself to acknowledge that, okay, that maybe wasn't the best thing that I did at the time, but having that self-compassion to say I made the choices that I felt were right, or that I felt like I had at the time, and now I know better, so I'm going to do better. And then you can really move forward and start crafting more of a life that, you know, you really want to live, or that that you're happy to live. And I always tell people, it's like when you're a baby, you don't, you know, scold somebody that's an infant for crawling, because that's how they learn to then slowly stand up and then cruise along the furniture and then they can walk. You know, of course, we don't crawl around now. That's because we know how to walk now. But at that point in time, we didn't know.
Best choice available.
Best choice available. Yeah. Exactly.
You're kind of passionate about this topic.
Did you pick up on that?
Yes, I did.
Just a little bit.
So
yeah.
How does it play into what you are doing? I know you've talked about a book. I want you to talk a little bit about that. You talk about speeches. What do you talk about? Tell us how you're getting this message out. I mean, you sort of strike me as you're on a crusade here.
I'm on a crusade. I really am. You know, of course, we all have to learn from, you know, our own decisions and whether they're good decisions or bad decisions. But where possible, if you can learn from somebody else's foul-ups, what a gift, right? And if you can take the lessons yourself out of your own foul-ups and leverage that for your own self and to help others, I think that's also a gift. And that's really where I'm at right now. So I really am passionate about getting in front of groups of, you know, people that are looking for personal growth, or Rotary clubs, or, you know, community service groups, people that are dealing with abuse, you know, domestic violence groups, and helping those people understand that the circumstances can get this dire, because I would really talk about what I did, what my choices were, and how I came through them. Because not only can the circumstances be that dire, where you are starting with nothing, but they can also come out on the other side of that stronger, smarter, and more emotionally evolved than before they went in. And so I really love to try to help people, you know, make good decisions if they're heading into a divorce in particular, is something that I'm passionate about, but just any decision, really. You know, how do you weigh out those choices? How do you find out if you have some choices that maybe you don't think that you have? So that's really what I talk about. And the book that I'm writing is in particular regarding divorce. And I really talk a lot about what it takes to, do I really want to make this decision to, I've gone all the way through it. What are the practical steps? What are the emotional steps? What do I need to do to get from that, I think I might have to do this, to, I'm through it and I'm on the other side? Because I didn't really have that. And so I'm really passionate about giving sort of a little bit of a blueprint for people.
A workbook,
yeah. Some ideas, somewhere to start. Put it all in one place, because it can be really overwhelming when you are so emotionally invested in this decision, and everything you look at, you know, you're trying to gather information, you're talking to people, it's a lot. So it's kind of nice to be able to just sit down. This will be a quick and easy read with some exercises in each part of the book, so that they can assess where they are, what they need to be thinking about, how they can prepare before they proceed, so that they sort of have a game plan in mind, and that's going to help them get through it.
You know, I don't see this process as you're talking about it, this sort of series of questions guiding you through opening up the field of options and then evaluating them. I don't see it being limited to just divorce at all. I mean, you mentioned a number of other sort of emotional situations that this would also apply in.
Yeah, that's kind of my, I would say my touchstone, or my cornerstone, partly because of my own experience with it.
Okay.
But I like to use that as just an example of, again, you know, this is how bad something can be. Could be your career. You know, it could be another relationship in your life, or maybe it's, you know, a situation you're dealing with your family or family member. But that's just sort of my take on it right now, is what I'm really speaking on and writing about. But I definitely think that there's so much opportunity out there for people to try to, you know, uncover what choices they have in their lives and how they can, you know, make better choices or more informed choices.
Now, obviously, the best choice they could make would be to hire you as a coach to help you walk them through this. So that's a given. But you have any tips for our audience as to what steps they might go through to get themselves ready to deal with making choices?
You know, one of the things that became just a lifesaver for me is meditation. And there's so many levels of meditation. There is the spiritual, there's the mantras, there's the om, there's, you know, there's so many different things that people, what that word means to people. And I'll tell you, one thing I've learned is that what words you use is the difference between someone listening and someone not listening.
Isn't that the truth? The labels.
So true. Just like that word responsibility versus blame, the difference there. But when I'm talking about meditation, what I'm really talking about is taking some time to quiet the world outside so that you can get grounded and ask yourself important questions. Questions like, why? That why to the fifth. Even if it's, you know, you're just doing that for yourself. And don't lie to yourself while you're sitting there. I love guided meditations. It doesn't have to be an hour long, you know, sitting in that cross-legged position kind of a thing, but just even 5 to 10 minutes of mindfulness. And they're doing so much research on how important that is before business meetings, before, you know, interviews, before important decisions that people are making. Just taking some time to not go down the worry road, not go down the blame road, you know, shut all of those things out and just spend a few moments of quiet. You can observe the thoughts coming and going, but really sort of hone in on those whys so that you can get underneath to your emotional, you know, impetus for what you're doing and start opening your world up a little bit for better choices and more choices than you thought you had.
Would journaling be a part of that?
I do like journaling, but you know what's interesting? So I'm a big fan, of course, of being grateful. I mean, gratitude is such a big part of building happiness in your life. But I'm such a process-oriented person that when I first started to try to journal, I'd think, oh, I have to write down 5 things a day. And I'd set up this whole process, and then I would just get overwhelmed with it. And I thought, well, this is silly. So now, you know, what journaling has turned into for me, especially when it comes to gratitude, would be what went right today. Okay. And some days that's just, you know, the coffee maker went off on time and I've got a hot cup of coffee to start my day. And that might be the only thing you write about. And that's okay. That's a good thing. You know, and from there, it can easily just be just jotting down a thought. You know, I felt really overwhelmed. And you don't always have to explore those thoughts right then and there. But I think sometimes just getting it out is a big part of, you know, being able to explore it later. So I think that meditation and the journaling, like you said, they sort of go hand in hand. So jot down what comes out. You don't always have to analyze it. You can step away and but let yourself sort of have that free flow of thought. And that helps.
Yeah, I think journaling was a wrong word. I used the wrong word. It sounds like too big a thing. What I hear you saying is if you're going to take time to sit and truly think about where you're at, meditation, then it might be good to jot down a note or two. You don't have to evaluate it in depth now, but accumulate them so that you, when you walk away, you don't just forget.
Yeah, and that's so easy to do, you know, when you're not in the moment any longer. And that's something that I've worked personally on quite a bit, is trying to be more in the now. You know, in the past, I've been very much of a worrier, or, you know, sort of kicking myself for things that have happened. And I've learned to let a lot of that go so that I can be more involved in my life as it's happening right now, because there's good things going on most of the time. And, you know, you can catch yourself thinking, okay, wait a minute, am I okay right now? Yes, I am. You know, it's very rare that the answer is no, I'm not. So, you know, sometimes just jotting those things down help you kind of remember what the feelings were so that you can stay a little bit more present and not always be in that little rat hole of worry.
I've been kind of directing you. I want to back away from that because I want to make sure we hear what you have to say, not answer my question. So what else in this area do you want to share with the audience?
Boy, I just really want people to be able to, you know, look inside and start to trust themselves more. There's so much in there that they know. They have so much wisdom, and we tell ourselves all the time that I don't know, I'm unsure, I'm not good enough, I'm scared, all of those things. And I really want people to dig down and sort of comfort themselves like you would comfort a child. Have that level of self-compassion and listen to what your heart is saying. And you know, you'll start to uncover what those emotions are that are holding you back or scaring you or limiting your field of choices. And that level of self-compassion will really help you, I think, be able to blossom and take whatever means that could be a support group, it could be a coach, it could be a book, it could be journaling, it could be all those things.
Okay.
Whatever means necessary, but just start.
You know, and for the people that aren't coaches, what advice would you give us to help people that we see in this situation?
Be there.
And how do we be there for them? By telling them what to do?
No, never. That's
too easy.
The worst, right? Can you imagine? As soon as you tell somebody what to do, that wall goes up. But if you can learn how to be empathetic, and that's a big, I know that's a big coaching buzzword, sympathy versus empathy. And sympathy really disempowers people. It makes them feel like you pity them, and no one likes that. No one wants to feel like that, I don't think. But if you can empathize, even if you aren't going through the same thing, we can all understand fear. Mm-hmm. We can all understand indecision. And so find that thing that you can relate to and then just be there beside somebody that is needing to have some support through a difficult time. That might be a listening ear. It's rarely giving advice. And it's certainly being non-judgmental because you will never know what that person feels, no matter how much they tell you. You'll never truly know what it's like to live in their head. So you can't ever put that judgment on what they're doing, how they're behaving, or what steps they're taking. You can just be there and support.
You know, one of my pet peeves, I guess, is I hear people, when somebody's telling somebody else about a problem they're having, and I hear the person listens intently to them, and then they go, I know just what you mean. I've been through it. And then let me tell you my story about what my operation was like. I'm not interested in your operation.
Yeah.
This is about my pain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would agree. It's always, of course, one of the big, concepts behind coaching is to question people, not pepper them. It's not an interrogation, but have a true curiosity about what somebody is feeling and what's going through their mind. And your curiosity, genuine curiosity, is going to feel like a warm blanket to that person in the shivering cold. So, you know, really don't listen to respond, listen to listen. And be curious about what somebody's going through. And, you know, if they want your example, feel free to share that. But, you know, otherwise, I think that's such a great point. It needs to be about them, and that's what true support is.
Well, that's great advice for all of us, and whether we're coaching or not coaching.
Exactly, yeah.
Well, look, as we're getting close to wrapping up here, anything else you want to share that you didn't get a chance to?
Boy, well, if you're out there listening and you have more questions, I'd love to talk to you about it. I really do have such a passion for, you know, working side by side. Sometimes I hate the word help because that just, you know, it's a little bit, I don't know. It's more working with you to help you. I said it, you know, but, you know, to untangle some of the things that feel like they're tangled up in your life. So, you know, I definitely invite people to contact me. I'm more than happy to do just a free 30-minute coaching call with people just to, you know, find out, is coaching right for you? Do you even understand what it is? Sometimes people don't really know what coaching is all about. So it's a little bit of, you know, education there, or would this be the right fit, or could I refer you to somebody that might be a better fit? But if you feel like you want some sort of guidance, you know, reach out to me or to another coach or somewhere. You know, I'd love to talk to you. And if you are an organization that is looking for somebody to speak on some of these topics, always willing.
Okay. And once again, how do people get a hold of you?
So you can find me out. My website is ultimateupcycle.com. Same Facebook, Ultimate Upcycle, or Twitter. Reaching out any of those ways is a fantastic way to get in touch with me. Or email, just laura@ultimateupcycle.com is a great way.
Oh, you make it so easy.
I try. I try. Simpler the better, right?
So last question. What's your definition of coaching?
Wow, I love that. I would definitely feel that coaching is, you have the answers, but I have the questions.
The client has the answers.
The client has the answers.
The coach has the questions.
They don't think they do a lot of times, and that's, I think, where people get confused sometimes with coaching. Their expectation is that I'm going to lay out for them what they should be doing. But the truth is I could do that all day long and it's not going to stick because it's not coming from the client. So they have that answer. My job is to find the right questions to pull those answers out.
And, you know, even as I heard you talk about your book, which mm-hmm. I'm anxious to see, to read when it's done, but it wasn't, I didn't get the sense that you were writing a book that is a how-to. This has got the answers to all of your problems about how to get through your divorce. But it was a guide of things you should consider.
Yes. Yes. These are some great points for you to think through and plan for. And, you know, I definitely want to make sure that people understand every single person is different. Every situation is different. And so there are always going to be some, you know, differences in the way that you handle things. But, you know, this is a starting point.
Great. Well, I look forward to seeing the book. I look forward to having you back on the show when your book's done.
Oh, I'd love to come back.
Talk to us about it.
For sure.
Well, look, thank you very much for being with us today, and welcome to the Coaching Perspective radio show business community.
Oh, thank you so much, Doug. I appreciate it. Oh, I loved it.
It's been fun. Well, look, if you're listening to our podcast, then thank you for visiting our website, thecoachingperspective.com, and be sure to check out our archives for other shows with great guests. And speaking of guests, if you'd like to be on the show, we're always looking for coaches, CEOs, HR professionals to interview. Anybody interesting, just send me an email, doug@thecoachingperspective.com. Well, we're going to be dark next week, the 28th. I have a the 21st. I have a conflict, but on the 28th, we'll have Justin McIntry from Vanguard University, who's going to be with us, talking about telling your story. Well, this is Doug Gefeller. I hope you've enjoyed the show today, that the discussion has provided you with new ideas and information that you can put to use immediately to identify and achieve your goals and make good choices. Have a great evening.
You've been listening to the one show that takes a look at business from a different perspective, The Coaching Perspective, with Master Certified Business Coach Doug Gefeller.